obligations here. Family, this, that.
The AIDS are.
Family.
That wasn't recorded.
You didn't say that.
Was that the on?
You want to start again?
Gail, he never said that.
Gail will never listen to this. Okay. We are on the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chof Aleph Halacha Chof Gimel Chapter 21 Law 23. In the Maznaim text, around page 158, 159, we're continuing to look at different laws about things. After determining you cannot take medications because we're afraid you may crush the herbs and things like that to make
pestle
it
that.
So then pestle and mortar, to all different types of medications where we basically have come to a rule that if you ingest it in a way that healthy people would ingest it, even though there might be some medicinal benefits from it, we don't say it's prohibited because even in normal circumstances, people would drink it. If something only sick people would drink or do, we do not allow you to do that. That was the general rule we had. So we're going to continue this discussion.
You can have a cup of coffee to stave off a headache.
That's what he's going to talk about exactly. Well, sore throat, but same thing. Chaf Gimel. Bechein Shmonim, and similarly, different types of oils. There are some oils that healthy people will anoint themselves with. Mutar losuch b'hem Shabbos, you may anoint yourself with them on Shabbos. Even though your intention, in your specific case, is for refuah, for healing, but healthy people do the same thing, so there's nothing in your action that overtly says healing. But on the other hand, different oils, v'she'ena b'rim sochem b'hem, there's certain oils that healthy people do not anoint themselves with. Okay. So therefore, asurim, it's prohibited. Now, next. Hachoyshesh b'mosnof. If a person has pains in his groin area, so lo yosuch yayin v'chomets, you don't anoint with wine and vinegar.
Uh-oh.
Because like that's, it seems that's what sick people would do. What sick people would do. But he can anoint that area with oil because the oil is what even healthy people do that, and no one will tell that is for refuah. However, when we're talking about using oils, there's one oil we can't use. For lo b'shemen vered, we don't use rose oil. Why? Because it's very expensive and nobody would use it unless they were sick. It's not the kind of thing that a healthy person would use because it's just way too expensive to use. I guess maybe very rich people could, but the average person wouldn't. So if you were doing it, it's obvious it's only for medicinal purposes. Ella, that's what he says. Elba makam shabrin sochanasal. Except in a situation where wealthy people would use this rose oil, then that's fine.
Healthy or wealthy?
I said wealthy. Did I say healthy?
No, it says here healthy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant, okay, you're right. Thank you. Healthy people. Only in a place where healthy people do it, it is fine. Now it's interesting. So how does that fit in? So the commentaries say, you know, there's an opinion that says that only people who are princely use rose oil. So that seems a regular Jew wouldn't. And then Reb Shimon says we know that all Jews are b'nei melachim, we're the children of Hashem, so we're like kings. So therefore, what are you going to do? So therefore, it says only in a place where this oil is very freely available, then it'll be okay. So it generally is expensive. Generally, as well, only the wealthy people use it. That is the truth, you know. People, but on the other hand, if it happens to be very freely available, then that's okay. But it has to have the other restriction that healthy people do use it as well.
Can I ask a question on that? Would that apply similarly to certain kinds of foods that only wealthy people could afford unless you were really sick?
No, I would say foods is going to be different because, I mean, I don't even know what kind of foods.
Because my dad used to tell me in the old country that you'd only get an orange. Exactly. You'd only get an orange if you were sick.
So an orange. But that already, it's only because... But that's eating. That's like pure eating. Okay? This is other things already. Well, eating, like, you know, a sick person, everybody eats. You know what I'm saying? You know, anointing your groin with an oil, you know, it's not, you know, necessarily a typical thing, okay? So.
I would never admit to it.
Right? So, but when a person's eating, and we're gonna get to that in Chav Dalet, where, you know, it's really not a medicine, and you're just eating. Like, that is, like, mom is such a power of act. Like, you can't say eating is medications, especially when it's a normal food, right? It's a normal food. It's an orange, right? Okay, so only rich people have it. Okay, so, but rich, healthy people, rich, healthy, wealthy people, healthy, wealthy people eat oranges, right?
I know, but healthy, wealthy people anoint themselves with this oil.
But that's already not. Okay, but eating is like something that's so universally done.
I hear the distinction.
You're not good. And we'll see in Chav Dalet, they're going to say similar halacha. Now, umutur losuch shemen umelach b'chol makom, and you may anoint with oil and salt under all circumstances. They don't really say why over here. One second. We're at number 24. One second. Where number 24, 23. But it's permitted with salt in all places. Yeah, so it's interesting that they say that soaking one's hands and feet in oil and salt is a remedy for intoxication. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's okay, because that's not medicinal. All right, so then that would be okay. I don't know how that works.
Intoxication,
is anointing.
Soaking one's hands and feet in a mixture of oil and salt is a remedy for intoxication. But that's not a sickness. Intoxication is not a sickness, per se. It's not a sickness. So let's say take a coffee after a hangover on Shabbos. You could do that. So it's going to take away. A drunk person isn't sick. He's not sick. What would be the worst thing a drunk person would do to feel better? Take a coffee. Take a sour pickle, but you don't take. There's no pills for it. You know, it's not the kind of thing you take a pill for. So it's something to worry about. So that's what he's saying. If you're soaking your feet in oil and salt,
I thought you weren't allowed to anoint yourself anyways in Shabbat, like rubbing oil.
No,
it's anointing.
So again, it has to be the kind of oil that is very what's the word? Viscous, not non-viscous. Which one is which? I forget.
Non-viscous.
Right? Not viscous. Whatever. The liquidy one.
You're allowed to.
You can smear it.
Yeah, that's like baby oil. Okay, baby oil. You could baby oil.
You could anoint your groin with baby oil.
It's like, well, no, but that's a big. That's important to know that, because you have chapped lips. What do you do if you have chapped lips on Shabbos? You can't put Vaseline. But you could put baby oil on it. That's an oil. So you could do that. That doesn't smear because it's liquidy. I mean, we're not getting into all the difficulties with an oil. Basically, is pretty thin. Oil is pretty thin. It's not like Vaseline. It's not like Vaseline.
Yeah, it won't stay as a glob.
It's basically a liquid. You could. What about you have water in your hand and you just keep rubbing until the water goes out? You're not going to see you're smearing the water. So if it's very liquidy, so obviously that it's not talking about very thick items. If it's thick items, then you have a whole other issue that he's not getting into right now.
If you have like an ingrown toenail or something like that, you can soak your foot on Shabbos in hot water and salt?
If this is what people would commonly do, I mean.
First you have to have a number of scotch, and then you can do it.
Okay, I'd have to double check. I don't see why one couldn't from this halacha. I don't see why one couldn't do that. Unless there's other issues, like would we be concerned that do most people who soak themselves then snip off the nail with a clipper? And then we'd have to make a gzeira of snipping off the clipper. So you'll have to send me that, Shaila. Okay, text it, friend.
So, I charge for the email.
Well, listen, what?
Unless it's your own question.
So I have to say, there's so many halachas here, like I can't remember them all. So, but that's a good question. Okay, so where am I up to now? Nikfa yado araglo, what if he wounded his hands and his foot? Not in a life-threatening wound, but like he fell, whatever, something like that. So, somtza, he can soak it b'yayin in wine, v'ein somtza b'chometz, but you can't soak it in vinegar. Now, what does the soaking do the soaking stops the flow of the blood, so the blood won't, you know, you won't bleed to death, whatever. But so for some, so I guess wine is something maybe even healthy people do, I don't know, and vinegar not. Vim hoya onog, if he's a very delicate person where his mamish, everything bothers him, so af biyainos, or even wine would not be allowed, because that would be considered more than he would normally do. A delicate person wouldn't even want to soak with wine, so it shows more that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. So again, we'd have to see. Your question, Rafal, I really have to look up. Okay, chav dalet.
Some of it's individual then.
Yeah, there's certain, we have already learned that already. People are very particular about things, and for them, there's more of a tikkun for them. Remember we said people were very particular about not drinking water unless it's from the filtered water, and they won't drink anything right. else, so then they couldn't drink filtered water on Shabbos.
Right.
So similar type of
maybe
item here.
Someone soaks their feet.
Similar item. I mean, you have to know, the whole soaking of the feet, there could be a lot of other issues there, because usually after you soak your feet, you probably scrape it, scrape off dead, you know, flesh and some live flesh. So a whole bunch of malachas that follow after
maybe
that.
Maybe you dry them and squeeze the towel or something.
You know, like and so there could be a lot of malachas that I could see why we would rabbinically say that it's not allowed. So I'd have to look it up. Okay, chavdal, hachoshesh bishinov, a person who has pain in his teeth, toothaches. Okay, so again, the same idea here. So lo yigama bohen esachomis v'yifot. He can't sip vinegar and then spit it out afterwards. Okay. Because I guess that is clearly the way a person does it to heal themselves. I guess vinegar helps a toothache. Okay. Aval migameyahu balea, but he could zip it and drink it. Because now he's drinking vinegar. I guess people who do drink vinegar, and therefore as it, the tooth, you know, it sits on the mouth a little bit, it'll make the tooth a little bit better, but then you're drinking it, so it's in the form of looking like you're drinking it. Now, hachayshish bigron, a person has a sore throat. So, lo ya'ar enu b'shemen, you can't gargle it in oil. Avol boleyahu shemen harbi, but he can drink a lot of oil.
Swallow it.
Yeah, and swallow it, yes. Vim nisrapi nisrapa. And if he heals, he heals. Again, that's not unusual. I guess there are people who will drink oil. Mordechai is now
castor
into
oil
drinking oil. And, yeah.
He drinks oil, Mordechai?
Yeah.
Castor oil.
I don't know what it is. So,
5W.
So he's just drinking. He's just drinking. So, okay, it happens to heal your thing. So that would be the same thing with your hot tea. Right? So I don't know if let's say you had a sore throat and you were gargling the hot tea and spitting it out, you couldn't do that. But if you're drinking the hot tea, so that obviously is bathing your throat, makes your throat feel better, but everybody drinks tea. So there's nothing wrong with drinking tea. So I guess they have to say that, you know, there are people who drink oil. There are people who drink oil. There are healthy people who drink oil.
If you gargle daily, you gargle
oil. So we're going to talk about, in a minute, we're going to get to that. I think it's the next halacha, but it's coming very soon. He's going to talk about that. It's coming up, could be in the next line, as a matter of fact. Your favorite. Okay? Let me just finish halacha. Ein lo asin es hamastike. You don't chew mastike. And that's gum. You don't chew gum.
From trees.
And this referring to raw gum taken from trees. When I was in camp many, many moons ago, probably over 45 years ago, or 40, whatever. So the counselor took us on to the bush over there, and he said, this is Indian chewing gum. Certain things, I don't know, you'll never forget, right? Indian chewing gum. It was this red thing. It was curly. And he just pulled it off the tree and says, here, try some. And
like
just chew
Indian.
It. And it was, you know, and it had a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a taste. So that could be the same thing as song. It's gum from trees and not commercially prepared chewing gum. He's not talking about chewing gum. Chewing gum's a confectionery. So that's nothing to do with, but obviously no one takes Indian chewing gum, you know, unless, you know, you're doing it for some kind of medicinal purpose. So he's saying he can't chew with that type of gum. Vein shofin esashinaim b'sam b'shabbos. You don't brush the teeth with certain herbs on Shabbos. Bisman shenisgavim the fruit. It's going on both halachas. If you're intending them to be for refuah, again, I don't know what's wrong with you. Either, again, your teeth hurt or something, your throat, I don't know what it is. But if you're intending it, because those are not the typical ways to do things. However, v'nisgavim l'reach hapeh, but if your intention is for good breath, mutter, you're allowed to do it. So this is where gargling is allowed. This is where brushing teeth, according to the opinions that allow you to brush teeth on Shabbos, which now I understand Rabbi Veffer has created the Shabbos brush that could only be used with the Shabbos toothpaste. Now that's a great gimmick, you know. But
you have to have a special brush for Shabbos.
It's really not a brush. It's more like a pad.
Otherwise, you'd bleed, right?
Right. So the whole issue is here. Obviously, you can't brush your teeth if you'll bleed. But you know, I guess if it's dry, whatever. So you could do some kind of brushing. Again, so the main point we're getting at is not with saying the other potentially surim, but if you're doing something in your mouth to make your breath fresh, then that's okay. That's not called a refuah. That's not called healing, because all healthy people like to have fresh breath. Nothing wrong with having fresh breath. If your mamish have a strep throat and it's killing you, and okay, you know, then and you're trying to cure it by gargling, then that already could be a problem, because that is already medicinal. So what we're saying is, what would you do then? Just
drink,
or things like
that.
Can you
just review the philosophy why you can't try a refuah?
Well, the basic line is you'll come, once we allow one refuah, we'll allow other refuahs, and then you'll come and smash with a mortar and pestle, and you'll do that. So that it all comes back to that. So how much refuah looking is it? Once somebody says, "Well, oh, you gargled because you had a strep throat, so it can take a pill," you know. So sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't take a pill. So that's the general, and it can also be or sometimes it leads you to other malachas. So that's why you have to be particular why you're doing it over here. Okay, next chafe. Ain nice in the ayin l'tocha ayin. It's a rhyme. You can't put wine into your eyes. Bringing their eyes, because I guess it was some kind of medicinal purpose, and that's obvious. Anyone putting wine in their eyes, you know, obviously there must be something to fix up their eyes.
Mud, maybe.
Avol no sein hu al gava.
There's mud in your eye.
Avol no sein hu al gava, but he could put the wine on top of the eye, meaning on the eyelid, because when you put on the eyelid, it looks like you're washing your eyelids, and people do wash eyelids. And maybe wine is a very nice way to wash it. I don't know. However, verok tafel, but saliva, afilo agava ayinos, you can't put saliva on top of your eyelids, because nobody washes their eyelids in Thornhill with spit, because it's disgusting. So if you're doing it, it's only one reason you're doing it, for refuah. It's a giveaway. So you can't do it. Okay, kilor. An eye salve, Shashar Osam Erev Shabbos, that you soaked it before Shabbos. Maviro al gavein, you can put it on the outside of your eye b'Shabbos. Ve'ein achayshis, you don't have to concern yourself about any prohibitions, because it also looks like washing, but only if you soaked it on Erev Shabbos. Mi shalaka be'etzpo, somebody who got wounded.
So what if you have eye drops? Like just your
eyes. So again, so you have to know what kind of eye drops they are. So I would say,
if you just normally dry.
If it's just for dry eyes, that's not a refuah. Mm-hmm. That's no different than it's just a discomfort. You know that's normal wearing, but then you have to know the
clown. Tear ducts don't work.
But with eyes, we're a lot more lenient in general anyway. Eyes are usually considered more of a cholish yeshbo sakon. Eyes is a very dangerous part of the body, so we're much more lenient. So again, you have to know the situation exactly that it's at, but we are more lenient in that area. Okay, so me shaloko betzpo, somebody who wounded their finger. Lo yichrach alav gemi. Again, you don't tie a reed around it, kedei l'rapo, so to heal it. Velo yidochekan ubiyada. You don't squeeze the finger, kedei l'hotzim adam, to take blood out of that. There'll be other isurim there. It's natilas neshama. You're not letting it cause yourself to bleed. That's causing, taking away of life. Blood is life of the person. So you can't do that either.
Your problem with putting a band-aid on?
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll have to get the band-aids too. It's all gonna get into the issues here. We're going to leave that one. I want to hold that off until we get out of the medicine halachas, and then we'll look up. Problem is, like, they're all over the place to find them, so it's okay. We'll Mir Sashem, we'll get to that. Okay, chaf vav. Ein noistin chamin v'shemen al gabi amaka. There's two ways to learn this. Either it's you don't put hot stuff or oil on top of a wound, or some understand you don't put hot oil, chamin v'shemen, together. Either it's an or it's an and. So let's say hot stuff and oil on top of a wound. Lo gabi moch shal gabi amaka. Unless you have a piece of cotton or something, a little gauze, a pad on top of the wound, so you don't pour this liquid over the pad, over the wound. And also lo gabi moch, you don't put it on top of the pad. Litna la amaka b'shabbos, put it on the wound on Shabbos. Okay, because that's all because of its medicinal stuff that we're concerned you might have crushed with the mortar and pestle. So what can you do? How can you go like the long way around? He could put the hot oil on the skin a little bit away from the wound. And then it will just flow by itself and cover over the wound. So therefore you're not putting it directly on the wound. And then that's okay. And then what do you do once the liquid is over that area? Then you'll put the dry pad over the wound for that. Because then that's not looking so much for refuah, but it's so it won't get your clothes dirty. You see? So I let the thing slide over the wound. So that indirectly gets it covered. Now I put the pad over. Why? Because my hand is wet. I don't want my clothes dirty. So now I'm putting it there. So that's how you kind of get around that issue. Okay, but v'imhoya atik, but if it was an old fabric, then osir, why? Mipneishu karitia, because then it mamish is much more like a band-aid, and we'll see that in general we would not allow that, generally speaking. Okay, well we'll have to wait for the later for the aloch of that. Chavzain, ritia sheporsha algave keli. So let's say you had a band-aid, and it fell off, and now it goes on top of a utensil. So it's like it slipped off. It was, so now the question is, really, the issue is a band-aid was on before Shabbos and then slips on after Shabbos. On Shabbos, can you put it back on? That's different than putting it on for the first time. So it seems there's this band-aid that kind of slipped off and it ended up on top of the utensil. So machzino, so you could put it back onto your wound. The poor shal gabe karka, but what if the band-aid fell on the ground and it got all dirty? Then osir lachzir, you cannot put it back. Why? Because since it fell on the ground, it's like you're now going to be putting it back on. It's like prohibited to do it at the beginning of Shabbos, because the normal reason we don't put a band-aid on, we're afraid you'll smear the ointment or whatever that's there. So I guess there's a great concern you're going to use a brand new one.
You put new ointment on the band-aid.
You'll put a new one on, and that'll bring us a problem.
Put new ointment on the old band-aid that fell on the floor.
Right, right, exactly. Now, here the next line is a big machlokas. I had to read this next line now. You can place a band-aid on top of a wound in the base hamikdash. Now, let's say, here's the issue. A Kohen who serves in the base hamikdash, he can't have any chatzitzas, any barriers between his hand and the Kohanic clothing that he has. There can be no barriers between his hand and his clothing. He has a band-aid, that is a barrier, and he has to take that off. So since, because of his avod, he has to take it off, so he's allowed to take it off and then put it back on. And the only reason this was prohibited, bechlal, was because it's a shvus. It's a rabbinic problem. Because what do we say? We don't allow you to do it because it could come to something else. But we know in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim always were given a break because they're very alacritous in mitzvahs, they're careful in mitzvahs, and we generally say that there's no shvus in the Beis Hamikdash. So if he's saying, you can, again, so let's go back to the line he's saying. So he's saying, a band-aid on top of a wound, lichatchil in the Beis Hamikdash, would be allowed, but the way the commentaries are explaining is a machlokas. Doesn't mean initially to put it on. Seems from the commentaries here, he's saying that only if he has to take it off because of his avoda, he could put it back on. Why? She'ain iser shvus b'migdash. There's no prohibition of shvus in the base of migdash. Uvachol makom, but still in all, so then the others learn it simpler and say you could put the band-aid on l'chadchila.
What's shvus?
Shvus, a rabbinic prohibition. Okay. A rabbinic. So you can't take medicine because maybe you're going to smash with the mortar and pestle. So in the Beis Hamikdash, we're not worried Kohanim can do things. We don't have those concerns because they're more careful and they're in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not likely when you're in Hashem's presence, you're going to do such foolish things and make those kinds of mistakes. So there's a machlokas, what the Rambam really means. It doesn't mean to say only when the thing came off because he had to take it off because it was a chatzitza and now putting it down, it's okay. Or he's saying even initially you could put it on in the Beis Hamikdash.
That first answer seems to imply that otherwise the coin wouldn't be able to do his service, and that's why you're letting him do it.
That's one way some learn. Others say, that's the only reason you're allowed to do it. And others say, no, if he's in the basement, it's okay. So whatever it is, whatever they could do, we couldn't do.
Right.
So that becomes, what is it that we can't do? Now, but one thing is for sure you can do. But in all situations, you can always clean the wound. You can wash a wound and clean a wound. But you can't clean a band-aid. Why? Because maybe you'll spread out the ointment or whatever that the band-aid is there, and that for sure is a problem. Okay. We'll do one more. Okay. Chavches. Sochin umesham shamin bivnei mayayim b'shabbos. You anoint and you massage your intestines on Shabbos. I guess from the outside. I guess
hopefully
they know where.
Whatever.
It's just interesting. I was just reading. In the washroom, the wife has these interesting medical types of books. Talks different types of massage therapies. So they have massage therapies if you're having constipation and things like that. Exactly how to massage face. So maybe that's what people might be doing. They might be putting some oil and massaging their intestines. However, it's when you put the oil and you massage at the same time. Why? I guess I'm not into this, but because then you won't do it the way you do it in the weekday. I guess in the weekday, it's a two-step procedure, and then, you know, it looks more like you're healing yourself, but otherwise, it's not. Now, here's a very interesting halacha. Ve'ein mis'almin b'Shabbos, and you can't exercise on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? So basically, it means you're exerting a lot of effort, and the reason you're exerting a lot of effort is because you want to sweat. Right? That's the point. So you can't, so here's clear. You're doing an activity for no other purpose but to sweat. That's usually what happens when you go to the gym. You're not like going to the gym to just see how many times you can, lift iron, you know, or how many hours you can go on the treadmill. Because you're not getting anywhere if you noticed, right? So it's not like this. There's only one purpose you're going is to sweat, because sweating alone, I'm not talking about losing weight even, sweating is a healthy thing to do. So that is like a medicinal type of thing. So you're not allowed to work out on Shabbos. Now the question is, so what does that mean? So they had a little different ways of working out. What does it mean, working out? There's people stepping on your body with force. It tires you out, it makes you sweat. You know, I guess, the person steps all over your face. Or you're going so fast, you get tired and you sweat. You're not allowed to tire yourself out on Shabbos. You should sweat on Shabbos. Because that is a medicinal activity. And that's what it brings over here in the English over here. It says the Tosef says you can't run for exercise on Shabbos, but you can walk leisurely. Okay? Now, it's interesting. He brings down, the Shulchan Aruch says that he allows young people to do calisthenics on Shabbos if they enjoy doing it. Huh, I don't know that anymore. The Moshe Brua says that's given only to people who really enjoy that activity, but not when you do it for the healthy purpose. So in other words, so what do you see from this? So let's say little children are allowed to play and run around and sweat and get all that because they like to run around and sweat and do all those things. But clearly Shabbos, with their chlal, the way you walk on Shabbos, not the way you walk during the week. Everything is different on Shabbos. You don't do things, if you can imagine, if you'd be working out, you're thinking about the healthiness of that, which is not the kind of things you should be thinking about on Shabbos. Right? So therefore, can you walk to shul? Yes. It's a hot day, you're going to sweat, but you're not walking. If anything, you don't want to sweat. That's the whole point. It's healthy? Sure, it's healthy. The doctor says you go for a walk every day for an hour. Okay, so going for a walk on Shabbos. Going for a walk, healthy people go for walks too. Some people just enjoy walking, right? But the main thing is you're not tiring yourself out. So that really is the halacha. Like, you really shouldn't go to a gym on Shabbos. A, B, if you have a gym in your house, just to pick up the weights, and you're picking up to the point, you get tired. I lifted weights today. So you get tired, you start to sweat. So you can't do any of that stuff. You can't really jog. All those things you can't do. The only thing you can do is walk. That's basically what you could do.
Are you supposed to walk quickly to shul? Is there something about that?
No, it's on Shabbos Bedavka.
Oh, not on Shabbos? Maybe the last little
bit. The last little bit. I mean, listen, if your normal way to walk is quick, then that's your normal way to walk.
But if you're late, you're allowed to speed up.
If you're late, you don't want to miss Baruch Hu. Whatever. But you certainly don't run. You certainly don't run. And last point, V'chein oser lamod bekarka dimusis. You're not allowed to stand in karka dimusis. What is that? That is a type of a bathhouse where the waters are dirty with mud. It's like the mud baths. You can't stand in these mud things. Sheb'eretz Yisrael, b'nei shema'al meles umarapes. It makes you sweat and it heals you. So you can't do any of those things that cause those things. Okay, go ahead. We made it. 30 minutes.